murderers decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Lorim.
That is correct. And today, yay, I've been waiting for this. A lot of information has come out, but I feel like there is still some questions. And today we are going to examine the still unfolding tragedy, the shooting death of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
Okay, who was a conservative activist and founder of Turning Point USA. He was assassinated on September 10th, 2025 at Utah Valley University while addressing an outdoor crowd. But as the facts emerge, something doesn't quite add up. There are messages, potential missing pieces, and questions about what authorities are calling a sniper shot fired from a distance. We don't yet have the whole story, and today we will try to lay out what we do know and what still feels off. Now, again, please note, as we say with ongoing cases, this is the information we had while the podcast was being recorded. If you are listening to this and there's more information, I can't tell the future. I'm just saying. Okay.
Wow.
Just saying. So here's what's being confirmed. Charlie Kirk was speaking at an event on September 10th on the campus of Utah Valley University, known as UVU, in Utah. It was part of his American comeback tour. Approximately 3,000 people were in attendance and the event was outdoors. At around 12:23 p.m., while answering questions involving mass shootings, Kirk was shot in the neck. The shooter was positioned on a rooftop roughly 130 to 142 yards away. Can I just say something? I don't know why America had to be different and use some other funny measuring system, because I don't know what 130 yards is.
Yeah, well, look, sometimes like I get confused. It's either yards or it's like feet.
No, please explain. Something. Like, it's but the like, most random thing. Or yards. Like, are we measuring your backyard? Like, is that the system of measuring? It's very strange for me.
Anyway,
okay. He was taken to hospital, but was later pronounced dead. Okay. Right after the shooting, a man named George Zinn, aged 71, immediately went to the police and shouted, "I shot him. Now shoot me."
That's interesting.
Side eye, okay? He was unarmed. And so he later actually admitting to fabricating the claim. He said he falsely confessed in order to distract law enforcement, essentially to draw attention away from the actual shooter so that the shooter might escape. I'm sorry. You have to be another level of not okay in the head when you're like, oh my goodness, let me confess so that the bad guy can get away.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Okay. George Jin was charged with obstruction of justice for making this false confession. And also, in the course of the investigations, authorities found more than 20 images of child sexual abuse on his phone. And now faces separate charges. You see, things always come back to bite you in the bum. I'm just saying. You wanted to be the hero and be like, I'm going to defend Charlie Kirk shooter. Now, my friend, you're probably going to spend a lot of time in prison for child pornography.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Okay. So,
but obviously, if you look at something like that, I don't think he did it out of his own. Something must have happened. Maybe he got threatened.
No. You know,
something.
Honestly, Glory, if you're somebody who keeps child pornography on your phone, I wouldn't be surprised if you're stupid enough to do something like this.
Yeah. Look, I don't
when
know.
When you, I mean, look at how many people have been celebrating his death. Like, it's a victory. There are people that believe that what the shooter did was right. This man believed what the shooter did was right. So in his head, he's like, I want that person to get away with it. Now, I'm not saying he could have been put up to it. He could have been threatened. I'm not saying that's not the case. I'm just saying it's also a very logical thing why he would have maybe done it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Okay. However, we do have now a person in custody, and that person is Tyler James Robinson, and he's 22. 22. Wild, okay? He's from Washington, Utah. He was arrested on September 12th, about 33 hours after the shooting. So how was he captured? Right, so after the shooting on September 10th, law enforcement released surveillance and media images of a suspected shooter on campus. Robinson's parents then reportedly saw one of these images and believed it looked like their son.
Interesting.
The rifle allegedly used was a bolt-action rifle, which had been gifted to the Robinson family by a member, his grandfather. The father recognized that rifle as the matching the gun shown on those suspect images. Okay? Once Robinson's parents thought the images matched, they contacted a family friend who was a retired deputy sheriff and also someone in their religious community. I think it was their priest or something like that. I don't know the exact details. Okay. And the family friend helped arrange for Robinson to surrender peacefully the next day. Robinson had, however, evaded capture for about 33 hours after the shooting, and he was arrested at his home in Washington County, Utah, with his parents and that family friend who was involved. At the time of his arrest, like I said, he was 22 years old. After the arrest and during the investigation, DNA evidence linked Robinson to items at the crime scene, specifically a towel which was wrapped around the rifle and a screwdriver found on the rooftop which the shot was fired. Okay, so there is some DNA evidence.
Yeah.
Also, video surveillance helped place the suspect in key locations leading up to the shooting. Now, there are a couple of people on the internet saying they think that there's more than one person. If you look at, because when he enters the university campus, he's wearing different clothes. Some people say he changed. Some people say it's two different people. So there are conflicting views on what actually is this security video showing us. I have seen the video of the shooter jumping off the roof and hurting his leg. And afterward, he actually starts limping away. Because obviously, if you jump off a roof...
Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
It's not going to end well for you. So, but again, there is some speculation about what was going on with this surveillance footage. Okay. He faces multiple serious charges, aggravated murder, obstruction of justice, witness tampering, among others. Prosecutors are reportedly seeking the death penalty due to aggravating circumstances, including the fact that there were children at the scene and political speech was involved. So
yeah.
That's why they are pushing for the death penalty, and the death penalty is still a thing in the state of Utah, so it could very well much be a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is where things get murky. Things that suggest a deeper planning or maybe someone else being involved, or at least more preparation than a spur-of-the-moment attack. So what... Hear me out. The first reason why I think there's something fishy here is if we look at the texts that were sent between him and his roommate. His roommate was also his romantic partner, and the roommate is transgender. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like we go around this.
I feel like that was
the same. How many times?
Yeah.
The same mountain.
Okay. Quite a
couple of times.
Yeah.
Okay. So according to law enforcement statement, Robinson allegedly had exchanged with his roommates on the day of the shooting. And I'm going to read it from, this is the official document that they've released. So it says, the police interviewed Robinson's roommate, a biological male who was involved in a romantic relationship with Robinson. The roommate told police that the roommate received messages from Robinson about the shooting and provided those messages to the police. Okay, so on September 10th, 2025, the roommate received a message saying, drop what you're doing and look under my keyboard. Okay, what would you do if I sent you that message?
Oh, obviously, I'd be curious. I'd be like, what
the heck is under this? Yeah, I'd also be curious, right? Underneath the keyboard was a note that said, I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk. I'm going to take it. Yeah. Okay. Then after the shooting took place, these were the text messages. Now, my first thought was, if I've just shot somebody, there is no way on this green earth am I texting somebody about it. I'll take a phone call. No, they're not, like, what you say on a phone call is not necessarily recorded like how a text is recorded, right?
Yeah, but look, in this, and I'm not saying, obviously, I'm not discounting what you're saying, but even in this day and age, I'd even be
skeptical about taking a phone call. No, I agree.
Because even like on WhatsApp tells you that your phone calls are being monitored.
No, I know. So the roommates, and it starts with the roommate saying, "What? You're joking, right?" Then Robinson said, "I'm still okay, my love, but I'm stuck in Oren, I think that's where the town was, for a little while longer. Yet, shouldn't be long until I come home, but I gotta grab my rifle still. To be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. I'm sorry to involve you." The roommate. "You weren't the one who did it, right?" Then he said, "I am. I'm sorry." Roommate. "I thought they caught the person." Robinson. "No, they grabbed some crazy old dude, then interrogated someone in similar clothing. I had planned to grab my rifle from my drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there are vehicles lingering." The roommate. "Why?" Robinson. "Why did I do it?" Roommate. "Well, yeah." Robinson. "I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I am able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence. Going to attempt to retrieve it again. Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it." Roommate. "How long have you been planning this?" Robinson. "A bit over a week." A week. Only a week.
That's crazy.
Only a week. Okay, I'm going to carry on. I believe I can't get close to it, but there is a squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it. Robinson. "I am wishing I had circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got my vehicle. I'm worried that my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. If it had, I don't know if it had a serial number, but I wouldn't but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about prints. I had to leave it in a bush where I changed outfits. Didn't have the ability or time to bring it with. I might have to abandon it in the hope they don't find prints. Well, beep! Will I explain losing it to my old man?" Is this not the weirdest text conversation you have ever heard?
Yeah.
Is it not strange?
Look, if this is true, this young dude has quite an adventurous mind.
No. Here's my thing, right?
But
like, the way he talks, it's like, I hated his hatred. "Oh my goodness, I need to go fetch my gun." Or, he's more worried about his father finding out his grandfather's gun is missing than the fact he just shot somebody. Like, and the way he talked, I honestly, when I read it, I was like, did somebody chat GPT this? It doesn't sound like a human conversation.
Exactly. Hence why I'm saying, if all of this is not a conspiracy, this kid must have had a very adventurous mind. Because who just decides to go, and within a week's worth of planning, which wouldn't be much.
But you see, that's
unless he spent
his
entire week planning it, and he's doing nothing.
I don't care. This kid's 22. He's not a military professional. He's not a ex-cop that maybe could pull something off like this in a week. A week. Yeah. You're telling me this guy was like, okay, Charlie Kirk is coming in a week's time. I'm going to shoot. No. No.
And isn't some kind of public calendar that was posted by Charlie.
Well, team. I think it is a tour, so it would have been released that dates he would be at the campus.
Yeah.
But a week. This is where skepticism glasses on. I'm just saying. Okay, so these texts have been suggested to provide motive, which was the ideology and this hate. Okay, but it also raises questions. Okay, why did Robinson feel this way? What might have influenced him? And actually, how much planning was done? And that's my thing. a 22-year-old kid could plan an assassination in 1 week. I'll believe that. That happens in the movies.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you put it all together, several things feel unresolved and there are threads that haven't been answered and questions that are still raging in the public. So we've got three pieces of missing things. Pieces. Three things. We have three missing pieces. Number one, how well was the sniper's position scouted? Shooting from a roof 130 yards away is not a small matter. And that's what also people are saying. This is a 22-year-old with no gun experience. How is my friend? No, he's not my friend. How is this guy shooting an accurate shot to hit somebody in the neck? And the neck is not even like the biggest part of the body.
Look, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if it came out based on their claim, the WhatsApp text. That his shooting experience was from a video game.
Honestly. No, but
Call of Duty.
I get that. But shooting a real gun and shooting on a video game, it's not the same thing. Look, it's like driving on a video game.
Who knows?
Game.
Maybe he's like a professional paintball gun man or something.
Wow. He has Glory defending that this guy.
No, I'm not defending him, but I'm trying to source where the heck he is.
Snipers are one of the most trained people in the military. I know you have to look at wind. You have to look at angle. It's not something small. And to shoot a moving person. Charlie's talking. He's moving. And if you look at Charlie, he's quite an animated person. He moves quite a lot. To shoot a moving person in the neck with no experience from 130 yards away.
Yeah, but his body is stationary.
I get that, Glory. But if you're talking like this, look how my head's moving. It's not the most easy thing in the world.
To be fair, I mean, I watched the clip of him getting shot, right? As much as he was moving, he wasn't like bouncing around.
I'm not saying he was moving around the street. I'm not saying that.
And also, think about it.
Human person. It's from 130 yards away.
If you've seen the video, you see that the bullet seems to have ricocheted from his chest.
No.
Yes.
It hit his neck full and through. If you look at the forensics, the video, it doesn't ricochet off his chest.
Okay.
How can a bullet go like this?
Because what I've seen, he had a bulletproof vest on underneath.
Is that confirmed?
I don't know.
No, you see, Glory's coming here with these theories. He hasn't even confirmed it. He's shot.
So I saw apparently that he had a bulletproof vest on. So they shot him, bounced off the vest.
Okay, Glory's talking magical tricks here. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I'm just saying.
I know it's conspiracy.
This is what I'm just saying. I'm saying it's already to shoot a gun is not something you can do without skill. You see how people have to train to hit targets on the bullseye. It's not a 5-minute thing. This kid is 22. He has no military experience. He took a gun and he shot someone from 130 yards away. And you're telling me it hit on target.
Yeah.
That for me is wild. That for me is side eye. That for me is, I don't know if I believe this. Okay. Second thing was, Kirk was known to be quite a strong rhetoric. The timing, the location, the approach all make him a high visible target. But some reports say that even though he was aware that these events carried risk, yet security measures were actually seen quite minimal. Regards to metal detectors not being used or entry, there was no screening at entries.
Yeah.
So that is a bit of a question if people knew, like, I mean, people are quite violent in America when they want to be. I mean, especially at a university campus where a lot of people could get hurt, you would expect there to be more security. But again, the people involved in JFK's assassination, well, the feds never checked all the windows, and that's why JFK got shot, so I'm not surprised there either. The third thing that's a bit of a conspiracy, and it's not 100% facts, but it has started asking or raising questions. And please, again, like I said, this is a conspiracy. It is not actual fact. I'm just presenting it to you as the audience so you can decide for yourselves what you believe and what you think going on. But there was an airplane that was reportedly have taken off, I think it was like 30 minutes, an hour after Charlie Kirk was shot. and then its radar was turned off. Yeah. That is illegal. You are not allowed to turn your radar off. And it only popped up like an hour or two later when it landed. That plane could have flown somewhere, dropped somebody off and retaken off and then landed again. Who was that plane carrying?
And like, what kind of plane was it exactly? Like,
I'm not 100% sure. Like I said, this has just been people speculating on the media. I know Candace Owens is looking into this quite a lot. She was actually the person who brought it to my attention. And so, again, there's a whole bunch of unanswered questions. I think, yeah, I don't know. It's just for me, you know when you feel like something just got wrapped up too quickly?
Yeah.
Like, quickly.
It's always interesting whenever stuff like these happens, how much stories and
these gaps leave space for conspiracy theories and for real concerns, okay? Because there's several things that that make me specifically uneasy. And like I said, the first was the speed of an official narrative.
Yeah.
In days. Like within days, political groups had already begun assigning blame, okay? And before all the facts had been released to the public. Do you see, I feel like when an investigation must be done, it must be done to the fullest extent, especially if they want to award this boy the death penalty.
Yeah.
I believe no stone should be left unturned. Because if you're willing to kill him for what he's done, there must be no doubt. No doubt at all.
I just find it interesting because how do you think, because I heard that he's going to be like publicly executed.
I don't know if that's 100% true because that's my second concern, what's making me feel uneasy. There is so many social media links and rumors and misinformation going around about this case. So many. Like,
I was like, how the heck are they going to publicly execute?
People were speaking about how they saw this guy like give like hand signals right before the shot went off. Like there is so much going around. And like I said, this investigation needs to see its course. It needs to be thorough.
Yeah.
Okay? It needs to be like I said, 100%. There is no doubt this man did it. He must be executed. But like I said, I'm not denying he wasn't involved. And you'll often find with these political assassinations, there's very often a fall guy. There was a fall guy for JFK, who then got shot on live television afterwards. I'm just saying, okay? There was a fall guy for John Lennon. There's always a fall guy. Now the question is Tyler Robinson the fall guy?
Yeah.
Is it? Did he shoot? Like I said, for me, I mean, we never know. Maybe the guy was secretly training to shoot guns. I don't know. But for me, it's a little bit suspicious that he was able to make that shot first try.
Exactly, because it wasn't like there were like multiple shots.
No, one shot. One, okay? Right? Then there's missing and delayed forensic information. Witness reports differ about vantage points, shooter location, campus security, etc., etc. If there was a good video from the roof or from drones, why hasn't it fully been released? That's what also Candace Owen was saying. Like, why do we only have these grainy, like pathetic videos of the shooter when we live in 2025.
Yeah.
Why? This is why I'm saying that there is definitely a big conspiracy forming around this case. And I think this happens a lot with assassinations. There is so many missing pieces. Even if you look at Abraham Lincoln, the guy who killed Abraham Lincoln, it was not only him. He was involved with other people.
Yeah.
Okay? They said the guy who killed JFK was alone. That's a load of nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And if you don't agree with me, well, go do your homework. But I don't think this man would have acted alone. I don't.
Because, it's just stuff like this. You can't do it alone. You need to have people around you.
And you need to have big influences. You need to it's like the bigger people who have like the power and authority. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's going to be more that's going to come out from this case. I'm not 100% Now, I'm not saying he's not involved. I think he is involved. I think those text messages show he was involved in some capacity. But I'm not fully satisfied. There are so many questions that need to be answered. And I, like I said, if they're going to give him the death penalty, they must make sure everything is 100% to the letter, evidence, forensics, everything.
Honestly, I don't... I'm just also quite curious by how, all of a sudden, by a quick decision that this guy...
No,
that they decide to do the death penalty. Because, like, they could have arrested him and sentenced him to life.
No, but you see what I'm saying. What did they do with the JFK shooter? He was shot.
I know.
To keep quiet. If he gets the death penalty, he's kept quiet. That if other people were involved, dead man's tell no tales.
But now, between... So has he been prosecuted?
Dead men tell no
has
tales.
He been prosecuted?
Not yet. I mean, law and juries and that take a long time. It's not 5-minute decision.
But he has been held.
He has been arrested, so he's in prison.
Like, during his time waiting in prison, information can spread. So if you think about it, either way, say they were to later decide to execute him. It's been like how many days?
I don't know. Maybe
he's
in solitary confinement. I don't know.
Yeah, or in a cell alone.
Yeah. Possible. I don't know. I'm just saying. It's only been a week. I don't think it's enough time to wrap this up and figure out everything. And like I said, there's questions. The text messages. I have questions about. His motives. I have questions. Was he working alone? Was he involved with someone? I just don't think this is the final answer. I feel like we're on the track there, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Although that's very big of his parents to turn him in. I'm just saying that must be a very hard decision. Like, I'm going to turn my kid in.
You can imagine. They probably got a big payout as part of the cover-up plan. You know, turn your son in, we'll give you this amount of money, he'll spend this amount of time. Maybe they don't really kill him, they ship him off to Cuba, change his identity.
Talk about me being a conspiracy theorist.
I mean,
okay, let me ask you a question. If your kid committed a crime, would you turn them in?
Honestly, it depends on the level of the crime.
If your kid killed somebody.
Yeah, that's still a hard one, I'm not even going to lie. I get that they committed a crime, but if you think about it, because obviously there's emotional attachment. So it's kind of like... I'm not saying I'm not turning them in.
I would turn them in.
Yo.
They must serve their punishment.
You'd have to, I know.
I'd still love them. I would.
Ish. Yeah.
I would still, and I'd visit them in prison, but they are not going to roam around the streets. That's like saying if your kid steals something from the shop, you don't smack their bum. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
Anyway, Again, everyone... I mean, I think everybody would answer that question differently. Would they turn their kids in? That's just my opinion. But like I said, this is a very interesting case, and I feel like we are going to receive a lot more information. That's why I said at the beginning of the show, if more information has been released, don't fight me. I don't know the future. But if... more interesting or bigger reveals do come, we will definitely do another show on this when the whole conclusion has come to light. I was trying to think of the words there.
I think you could have just said when it's been concluded.
When it's been concluded, we will definitely be sharing our thoughts then and there. But like I said, as for now, I think stones need to be unturned. Investigators need to investigate and do their jobs. And we'll have to see what happens. But again, it was a very tragic assassination.
Yeah.
And we are still praying for his wife and his children and his family. But yeah. Do you have anything else you would like to add?
No.
No?
Nothing else.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that was the Charlie Kirk assassination. We hope you enjoyed. Keep your ears out. Keep listening to the news. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot more coming soon. But otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.